Welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am your hostess with the mostest, Jamie Dawn, and I am offering you a pre-recorded show on Monday, October 14th of 2024. And this happens to be two and a half, three days before the full moon eclipse in Aries. This is our last set of eclipses in the Libra-Aries sign for 9 years. So this is significant because it's going to be wrapping up a 18-month theme, if you will, of the me versus we, the how do I continue to assert myself in my own rights and my own ways and my own independence and what I need to be the best version of myself versus allowing others to still participate and feel included in my life and in the ideas, the things that I wish to manifest. And then also we're continuing to look at relationships to all things, as I pointed out quite a bit. But before we dive any deeper into information around energy and what we can start feeling and thinking about and expecting over the next several weeks, because remember that a new or full moon eclipse are basically eclipses are the new and full moon on steroids. You know, there's this extra emphasis around it, this extra energy that I know we're already feeling. So before we get started, it's going to be super, super important that we continue to ground and come from that centered heart space. And so I'm going to invite us in this moment to take a deep breath in through our hearts, into our bodies. And if for some reason you're visualizing the breath being outside of you, come back inside and take a deep breath. And just allow your breath to be in the body, very deep and slow and long, and then down and out through the feet, feeling Mother Earth and that connection that we have with her and how she loves us and embraces us with her gravity. And Mother Earth certainly has been going through a lot of her own readjustments, yeah? My heart and thoughts and prayers go to all those on the East Coast affected by the hurricanes of recent, Helene and Milton. And of course, there is suffering all over the world that continues to happen. We're also leading up here in the U.S. to our elections, which are only a couple weeks away now. And there's a lot of controversy and a lot of heated energy and emotions behind who to vote for. And if so-and-so gets in, then what do we do? And, you know, and as people keep asking me, like, who are you going to vote for? My answer is, one, it's a very personal, private decision, and two, I'll go with whomever lines up with my values. So that's my answer. I don't feel as though my political stance is necessarily one that makes a big difference here. When we're working with the energy, it has more to do with coming back to what do you value most? What do you feel is right for you? And you make your decisions accordingly, because that's how you will sleep well at night. And your values and your decisions are not going to be what everybody else's are. Then that's good, because it's nobody else's life, you know? So some expectations for the show today, what you can be thinking about and expecting as you're listening, is that I'm going to be offering some cards that we can meditate on this week. And also I'm going to offer some reading and I post every new and full moon memes that have your sun, moon, or rising sign and where the energy is most affecting you. And I'm going to offer that in a deeper way on the show as well. So I just feel like that would be of greater service for you for this particular show. One other reminder is that I will be serving in my role as staff director at Nine Gates Mystery School, and that starts on Wednesday the 16th until Sunday the 27th. So I will be out of office during that time. If for some reason you need me, it's very, very limited on what I can do as far as being able to connect with you. But please do reach out, see if there's a window that I might be able to be of service to you during that time. As I always like to offer, if you would like me to put you, a loved one, whatever's weighing heavily on your heart, and bring you into this powerful energy field that we set, please let me know. Please reach out. I'm happy to do so. And you don't have to give me great detail. You can just say, please include me or please include so and so, whatever that might be. Okay, let's first set up. In my Celestial Wisdom video that I do, I try and get out at least every week, if not every other week, especially when we have big times like an eclipse coming up. That's on my YouTube channel. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and sharing that. I mentioned the Seven of Wands as being our card to meditate on for this full moon. And the Seven of Wands, you can go and listen to it and meditate on it. But just a brief summary is that we've had some success, and now there may be some competition or people challenging that success. Maybe there's some rivalry or jealousy that could come up because of our success that we're having. And with this full moon energy, it could be a little intense, a little more intense, or what gets revealed. Maybe you thought there was somebody you were collaborating with that suddenly is like wanting to take your idea, you know? So we really have to manage that energy. And at the same time, I pulled another card for this particular show, and Spirit was leading me to meditate on the Justice card. And Justice card represents justice and fairness, truth, and the law, and that there's actions that are being held accountable now. And we have to make sure that we are in alignment, as I mentioned, with our values. You could call it our higher self and the greater good as well. Then nothing to worry about. And if not, then it's time to own those actions and allow yourself to take responsibility for them. Also, I would say that this full moon could bring to light some information, some truth. That's what justice is really about. It's a search for truth. And I find it very appropriate because at this full moon, Venus moves into Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is that adventurer for truth, the seeker for something greater. And so that's part of the complement of this Justice card is that there is going to be some information that gets revealed that has long-reaching effects, and the truth, as they say, will set you free. And in doing so, when we own it, we take responsibility and we work with it, then we can find solutions. We can actually step into greater power and allow ourselves to know that we're moving to that next level of evolution. The Justice card says to choose consciously. And I really love that because that means that we pause and we take a moment to consider what is true in this moment, checking in with our bodies. What's truth? What is my truth inside of me? And then how do I meet that? That's responsibility, right? The ability to respond doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take action. Sometimes being responsible means that you hold the space or you step back for a little bit and you just let it cook, if you will. So that is the cards to meditate on. And I am being called to pull a couple of cards, oracle cards actually. I have several oracle decks, and the one that has called to me over the last couple of days has been the Wisdom of the Oracle, which is Colette Baron-Reid. Many of you are familiar with her. And so I just want to pull a couple of cards for those of you who are listening. And remember that you can go back and replay this show, and there's archives, so you can go back and listen again. This card is for someone in particular who is a listener, and she has been struggling with this financial burden. There's been a lot of financial energy and worry in her life over the last several years, and in particular the last several months. And so this card is for you, and the message is, I've got here and now. What you're working on is golden, and your efforts will leave a powerful legacy. Focus not on meeting a goal in the far future, but on creating your dream now, releasing your desire for an outcome and owning that it already exists. And it will appear in the material world as if by magic. Claim your prosperity now. The essence is more important than the form. I love this. It's just reminding you to stay present and remember that when you're in the energy field, that you are molding and shaping the outcome as we speak versus striving for that outcome and waiting and wishing it was already here. So it really is a beautiful reminder too of going with the flow and trusting the process. Trust that you have all the energy and all the information, all the tools to be able to make whatever it is you're working towards success. Okay? Stay the course and stay open. That's the other thing, is staying open to opportunities. If this reading resonates for anyone else who's listening, please listen as I offer this, is that when oftentimes I love to be out in nature early in the morning as the sun is coming up, and the quietude that is there, and then all of a sudden nature wakes up with the sunrise, you know, the birds start singing and chirping, and there, you know, there's activity, and I start thinking about waking from the dream, and the fact that this life, this bardo, this experience of being human in this moment in time is like a dream, and that as when we're in dream state, you know, we have opportunities to have all these symbols and movement and messages that appear. And waking state is no different. And the waking state offers a consciousness that we can access. And so the reason I'm sharing about the early morning is that I start to see this movement, and I witness that as the movement of the mind and how I am creating, co-creating the experience of like, oh, look, there's the bird that flies overhead and sings its song and gets food for its nest or whatnot, right? And so it's a beautiful reminder, especially with this card of being here and now, and how we're desiring to manifest in this world, is that this is a dream. We can manifest it. Let's pause. Let's be conscious and recognize that what we have access to, we can co-create. Just like the bird flying overhead, do you need that right relationship? Do you need that certain resource to pay a bill, whatever it might be? We can access that. Now we stay open and we witness. And then when let's say that bird flies overhead, I see that as the opportunity that now is available to us and is accessible to us. And so we open and we allow whatever shows up to be there, and then we work with it. Okay, I'll do some more if there's more time, but I just felt like that was important messages to put out there. So right now, as I'm recording this, it is October 14th, and there's quite a bit of cosmic energy happening in this moment. The moon is in Pisces, and it's making its transit closer and closer towards Saturn, which will happen. It'll make an exact conjunction, or as I like to say, canoodling to Saturn in about 2-3 hours from now. And so as we're feeling, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we also have Mercury entering Scorpio, and that's a very intense and deep sign. Well, then when you've got the moon also applying to Saturn, there's this, think of Saturn as being a little, it's the planet's heavy, right? And it's got this seriousness to it and this stoic kind of feeling, the discipline. Well, when you've got the moon and Saturn together, sometimes it brings out this depressive kind of energy. Yeah, depressive. The sadness, the heaviness, and because the moon member is what we need to feel. It's how we nurture ourselves. It's our karmic tendencies or our subconscious patterns, right? And so when it's coming closer and closer to Saturn, it could cause us to feel heavier, you know, and maybe a little more withdrawn. It kind of suppresses that moon feeling. And then you have Mercury entering Scorpio being super intense and deep and penetrating. That's our minds and how we operate, what we think and how we process information. And so if we are taking a subject matter and we start worrying about it, or we start wondering, I'm missing this, or I wish I had this, or whatever, then it's going to multiply that heavy, intense energy. Yeah. So if you're feeling a little off right now, hang in there because it will pass. We also have the sun, it's still in Libra, and it's squaring off with Mars in Cancer and then opposing Chiron in Aries. And so you've got this square going on, this T-square going on between the cardinal signs of Libra, Cancer, and Aries, and we're dealing with the Sun and Mars, which is not necessarily a bad energy because it can give us some real oomph to take action. But when you've got this opposition to Chiron going on, are we taking action from a wounded place? Or are we taking action from a place that says, hey, I've been there. I want to be of service to others. How do I take these wounds and these lessons I've learned and share them? I like to use the show very often to share some vulnerability. And part of that is my Capricorn rising, ruled by Saturn, it tends to be, at least in the past, it's been very afraid to be too vulnerable because God forbid what somebody might think of me, you know? And so I've been working really hard on dropping some of that mask. So I'll share something, a wound that popped up for me the other night. So my partner is a huge sports fanatic. And while I love sports and a good competition, he far exceeds my my excitement around it. I mean, I get excited because of him, of course. But anyway, so we're watching all these games, and he and I are playing a card game and just spending time together. And I swear, for about an hour and a half, nothing but stupidity in my mind. And I use that term stupidity not to put myself down, but it was like things I was saying either made no sense or they were sort of like Captain Obvious, you know? I mean, it was one of those things I'm looking in the mirror and I'm going, Jamie, just shut up. Why are you talking? Anyways, I remember the idea that I would look like an idiot, that I would feel like I look like an idiot, right? Kept coming up for me. And that's one of my wounding. Because I was shamed as a child and basically raised in that environment of be seen and not heard kind of mindset, especially in my early formative years. And so that wounding kept popping up, and I looked at myself and I was like, why are you talking? Why are you talking? And I looked at my watch and I was like, it's too early to go to bed. And I actually said that out loud to him. And he was so sweet. I have to say, he surprised me. But he said, what's going on? And I said, nothing. I feel like I need to stop talking. I am just not saying all the right things. And he said, do you need to talk about it? Do you need a moment and process it? And I stopped because he's never said that to me before. I've also never been vulnerable like that with him. I shouldn't say never. I haven't been that vulnerable with him in a while. So anyways, it was a beautiful response. And I walked through it and I stopped for a moment and I had a lot of grace for myself and we moved on and it was fine. But I use that example as a trigger for the wounding that showed up and how to work with it. And what I used was self-love and radical acceptance and remembering that I'm not that, you know, little child anymore, that I do have a voice. And so I was able to work through it. And I'm sharing that now as an opportunity to use this sun opposing Chiron, squaring off with Mars, to say, I hope that it inspires you to be vulnerable and to be gracious with yourself and to stop any negative self-talk that might be there. Because we also have Jupiter sextiling Chiron. Jupiter is in Gemini. And so there's this communicative theme, if you will, that goes with it and expands whatever information or ideas or connections we're making, right? And it's also Jupiter's making a trine to the sun. So it's expanding whatever is presenting itself right now, whatever story we're telling ourselves, whatever things that we're worrying about, talking about, thinking about, it's only being expanded exponentially, right? So remember, this story that we may be wrapping ourselves in could be one of the greatest telenovelas ever written, but it also could create actions that we don't necessarily want the results of. So please pause, you know, talk to somebody, connect with somebody if you need to walk through it, but be careful about the actions that you might be taking, especially because we've got Venus opposing Uranus. So anything goes. And when we're working with Venus, it could be, you know, sudden information when it comes to what we say with a particular relationship or a fast decision, impulsive decision around a financial matter, right? So just please be careful about how we respond to the energy that's here. And of course, we also have the full moon energy, and the energy of the full moon usually builds and builds and builds up until the actual exact moment. So the energy is usually more intense a couple of days before. I will just say, I'm putting these pins on the map. Please, whatever you do, when you're feeling the intensity of this, nurture yourself first. Put your mask on first. Now, there is an opportunity for many of you to take action on behalf of others. What a beautiful way to be of service. And I'll find it fascinating what shows up for me at this full moon, because I will be, I'll share this, the staff for Mystery School, we arrive 2 days, 2.5 days before the students arrive so that we can set up, we can cultivate the energy field and really anchor it even more. We're being of service so that we can welcome the students when they arrive, that they can drop in and immerse themselves in 100% and not have to worry about anything but themselves. And it's also a place where, like I say, we cultivate the energy field so that the teachings that arrive can land in a tilled, fertile soil, if you will. And so I'll be traveling the day before the full moon is exact and arriving where we're going to be, which is Lucerne Valley, and connecting with the staff. And my role is to be of service to my staff so that they can have all the resources they need to fulfill their roles and also to lead in a place of being a good example and being of service. And so that full moon is going to be happening the day I travel and the day all of my staff arrive. And we have our first staff meeting and all that good stuff. So it's going to be fascinating to see what's supercharged on Wednesday for me. Okay. And the other thing I would offer is that at this full moon, as I mentioned, Venus is changing signs into a fire sign as well. So Aries is a fire sign and Venus is moving into Sagittarius. And Sagittarius energy is, like I said before, it's very adventurous. It thinks long term. It's a seeker of meaning. It wants the greater meaning in life. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. So there's this expansive energy. But there's also a lot of freedom that Sagittarius needs in order to explore, right? So there may be exploration physically where we look at our partner or we meet somebody new who is foreign or let's say long distance, or somebody who's open-minded, right? Maybe you've been in relationships in the past that somebody was very fixed-minded and this is the way it is, and they weren't adventurous when it came to what they thought about relationships. Some of you may open relationships. You know, there's no judgment. Whatever works for you. There's also opportunities here where, like I say, we're just going to want a lot of lighthearted, fun adventure in our relationships and also in our finances and the things that we value. And there's a sense here where I would say around this full moon time and with Venus and Sagittarius that we're going to be asked to take on a more objective stance. So many of you that I talk to, the emotions run so high. We're high sensitives, we're empathic. It's very hard to detach from other people's energy. And so the reminder is to take an objective view and also, of course, put your mask on first. Go take care of yourself when the emotions are too intense. You have tools. Use them to release, to ground. Last week, I got really triggered by something And I was in just the worst mood. And of course, it started first thing in the morning, and I couldn't shake it. So I didn't try. I just kept identifying, I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a bad mood. But I put myself in situations that normally make me grounded and happy and that sort of thing. And finally, I was able to move through it. It took me a couple hours, but I was finally able to release it and let it go. And the mind, as we say, it's a powerful tool or weapon. And my mind, boy, was it a weapon against me and against the person that triggered me. But thank goodness I didn't take action. I just, and I did tell the person I was disappointed. They apologized and all that to me. And I was like, I accept the apology. I know things happen and I'm allowed to feel what I feel. And I feel disappointed. So we'll move through it. And we did. So it was lovely. So I share that to say that whatever's showing up right now, especially I'll point this out too, Mercury transiting through Scorpio. Conversations, decisions take on this deeper, more intense quality. And many of us are going to take subject matters and we're not going to let them go until we fully understand. Like I often say, until we get our head wrapped around it. And what we have to be careful as we may stop at nothing to uncover the truth with Mercury and Scorpio is that we can also go into paranoia or get exhausted. We could exhaust another person. I laugh because when I was raising my children, my son, he doesn't have Mercury and Scorpio, but you would think he did. Or he does. But anyways, he was my child who would exhaust me until I gave in. And depending on the day and the moment, he would win. But because I would give rewards to my kids for being resourceful. If I couldn't do it, I didn't have the resources to. He had this thing where many of you may be familiar with GameStop, which is a video place. I don't even know if it's still in business. I haven't looked or thought about it in years because I no need to. But he always loved to have the latest games, of course, to keep up with his friends and all that sort of thing. Well, I didn't have the money to help him on that. And so I would say, sorry, I can't do it. If I could, I would, but I can't. And he would say, well, what if I did this? Nope, can't do it. What if I did that? Nope. What about this? Blah, blah, blah. And then what it did is it caused him to get creative and resourceful, and he found a way. And sure enough, he got the latest game and I didn't have to pay for it. And he wasn't doing anything illegal by any means, but he was just very resourceful. So I would say, I'm using that example as that's how Mercury and Scorpio is most likely going to be for us, where there's something that comes up that we want and we will stop at nothing to get it. But the warning label is our paranoia or our suspicions could turn into a story or something that we don't actually want to know the answer to or isn't necessarily true. So that's why I say be careful because we could get attached to a particular idea and then become a super sleuth and then we won't like the answer that we get. They say if you start looking for all the negatives, you're going to find them. You want to find a reason to break up with your partner? Believe me, you'll find it. You'll come up with an excuse. If you don't want to break up with them and you want to find answers to become more intimate, to connect on a deeper level and have stronger emotional bonds, go for it. That's a great thing to explore. So that's the intention versus are they cheating on me? That's a common one, right? Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody's going to cheat, they're going to cheat, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. So if that's where your energy and time and all essence is going, it's not a good place to put it. It's crazy making. That's all I can say. I've been there. So try not to go there if you can, because here's the thing, it'll get revealed. And when it does, then you make a decision accordingly. Okay. What else? Before I do want to talk about, I mentioned that I have the memes, right, with the full moon and how it affects you by sign. So, what serves you guys best? I think I'm going to go through the signs. And the way that I offer this is I use the whole house system. And that means that I place your sign on the ascendant, okay? And that gives us a better idea, if you will, of how this energy affects you. And I always remind us that it's the sun, moon, and rising because these are our personal luminary planets and angle that we are affected by the most. So when we are looking at it, if you have an Aries rising, sun, or moon sign, now, just for clarification, if you have an Aries rising, then this full moon eclipse, when I'm looking at it as an astrologer, is in your first house, okay? Because the moon is transiting your first house. But if you're looking at it for your sun and your actual moon sign, then the moon is applying to your sun or the moon is applying to your moon if it's an Aries, okay? And so that's why it's important to know where, your things are in your chart. However, most likely what will be on your mind, whether it's the sun energizing or the moon being what you need, or that rising sign being the mask that you wear or the personality that you present, that this full moon is an opportunity to really let yourself stand out. Show the world who you are. Let yourself be the leader. And what I mean by that is you have no fucks to give. Okay? You stand up on the stage or you present your ideas or you lead a meeting or you share something that's important to you without any care of what other people think. You deserve to be seen. You have a right to be here in this body. Taurus, second house, or sorry, 12th house. This is all about setting and communicating healthy boundaries, as it goes a long way on the path of healing. Many of you Tauruses have been working with some deeper healing, and maybe you're offering support and healing for others, and you're seeing them go through great healing. And that's because you're helping them set boundaries. And I think that's the biggest theme for you, Taurus, is that this is about allowing all that wisdom that's been bubbling under the surface, that you have been doing these deep dives into yourself, is that you have a chance to help others as well as find some hidden, when we're dealing with that 12th house, hidden solutions that maybe wasn't there before. And so you may have to retreat for just a moment so that you can regroup to listen deeper to the messages and the information that's available to you. But this can help you find the answers and then share them for yourself and with others. Some of you may also go on some sort of spiritual retreat at this time, and that allows you to really anchor in more of your wisdom and spirituality at this time. Gemini. Many of you can manifest, this is your 11th house, manifest your desires through when you're collaborating with others, when you're bringing people together on some form of, let's say, a social cause or idea that that goes a long way here. That you may, because this is a full moon eclipse, you may even see your social life reshaping itself a little bit, your circle of influence, if you will, because you are forward thinking and you're presenting some ideas that continue to evolve a particular subject or a particular organization or whatnot, and not everybody lines up with it. So you've got to find that right circle of influence. And so, that's going to be a theme that you may be working with, and or if you're in some sort of casual relationship, because 11th house and 5th house are opposing each other, that you might decide you want to take something to the next level. Maybe you guys have been dating for a while and it's like, no, we want to be exclusive. Or I'm ready to move in with this person, or I'm going to give them a key so that they can come and go, whatever. So this is a cool time if you're looking at it from a relationship standpoint that you want something maybe a little more serious. And Gemini and Sagittarius get bad raps, Libra too, but Gemini and Sagittarius get a lot of bad raps about being non-committal. And I would say this is a time where maybe you release that idea of being non-committal and you're ready to step into something more committed. And I'll put this other pin on the map, Gemini. It's also another interpretation of this may be that you are no longer wanting just to flirt around and play around on, let's say, dating sites and things like that. So you stop with that energy and you're like, okay, I want to find a long-term partner. That could be something too. All right, Cancer. This is in your 10th house. And so remember, your 10 and 4 houses are being opposed and emphasized here. So it may be that you are looking for some sort of recognition, or you receive some because you've accomplished some cool stuff, or you're being seen as a natural leader. And you may be also seeing somebody in authority leaving your life and forcing you to step into the spotlight, or giving you an opportunity to take on a situation that you have to lead. So whatever that might be, this kind of extra responsibility that you take on could also be affecting your private life or your home life, because you may have to put in more hours. Let's say you get that raise or promotion. Well, it's going to come with more responsibility, which takes you away from some of the pleasures of home. But also, it may be that you've released some of your old ancestral wounding, or the way in which you were raised that doesn't resonate psychologically with you anymore, allowing you to take on a different legacy that you want to create and leave behind for your future generation. There's a lot of ancestral emphasis at this time as well. So please honor your ancestors. That goes for every sign, no matter who you are, but really emphasized here with Cancer. Leo, you might be, this is your 9th house. So 9th house is what's considered the God house, but belief systems, things like that. And it's going to be opposing that 3rd house. So there may be a subject matter or a belief that you feel really passionate about at this time, and you're ready to share it. And maybe you're being forced to step on a soapbox and say, this is my stance, this is why I believe what I believe, and I have so much conviction around it. Just have to be careful it doesn't turn into dogma, right? But the positive side of this is that you might just be dealing with a situation where you have to fight for yourself, you have to fight for another, because there's a bigger future. People have lost sight of the bigger picture, and you're having to bring them, rally them around it. And there's also a good indication at this full moon that you may have been waiting for some news about an opportunity that has been feeling a little elusive over the last, I would say, 18 months even. You've been working on this for quite some time that now finally comes to light, and you're able to take this new role or this new opportunity, and it has long-reaching, long-term success, and it gives you this, I'll call it, restoration of faith in yourself and in your capabilities. And somebody's taking a chance. I will say this, Leo, someone's taking a chance on you, and that feels good. You know, a little risky, careful of that imposter syndrome, but you got this, you're ready for it. That's what all this waiting has been about. It's been priming the pump for you. All right, Virgo, this is it in your 8th house, 8 and 2nd. And so we're looking at resources, joint and individual. We're looking at it's called the death house, but it's really about intimacy. It's about creating deeper connection reality from a previous partnership that you may have been in. And so the gift of this full moon is greater self-awareness, and that maybe you've been forced to face certain situations that have transformed you, the way in which you have operated with others or connected with others, or made decisions around your money, made decisions around the resources that you've been gifted, investments you've made. Now you could get some financial abundance, maybe there's greater security, you get deeper trust and intimacy. These are the benefits of your investments that you've been making. And so this could be a really positive time for you to reap what you've sown if you've been sowing good things, right? Now, I will say that there is a small chance, with this being in the 8th house, that, and you're dealing with intimacy issues, that there could be some revelation of a third party, or something that was happening behind the scenes that you didn't know about that gets revealed, that transforms the relationship. How you meet it is going to be the key. Libra. This is 7th house. So we just had Aries 1st house, right? Now we're dealing with Libra second house, is emphasis. Now, Aries, Libra, you're on the same axis, right? North, south, east, west. We're working here. And so, but the seventh house is emphasized more with Libra. And this is about letting go of any commitments or partnerships that have been toxic or have been draining your energy. You know, I often tell my clients, especially when they're working on their business and stuff, is that if you're doing tasks, to-dos that are draining you, and it's 80% of your time, we need to shift that. You're going to have to do 20% of the things you don't like. But if you're getting paid and working at 80% of the things you don't like, you're going to end up getting the blues. You're going to end up resenting, burn. There's going to be burnout, all that sort of thing. So this is a full moon that emphasizes let go of the people and things that are draining your energy and allow yourself to create the space for new opportunities that come along and support your long-range goals. And you may even receive news about a money matter that can influence your decision. So be careful about making any sort of impulsive or emotional decisions at this time, because the situation around the money matter, if you're in a partnership, whether it's personal or professional, that has a great influence for you. So it could be that, let's just say, you get news about an influx of money coming in, and you and your partner have been living separately, and you're like, I have money to put down a down payment on a house. Great. Are you gonna live together? You know, are you gonna do this for you? These are the kind, that's just a small example of how this could affect you. Okay. Scorpio. Okay. This is in your sixth house, so we're dealing with the house of ritual and health and routine and self-development. So this is a time where your daily routines and your health, if you approach this with an assertive and a proactive attitude, then you're going to set yourself up for success here. And it may be that there's an old karmic pattern or a habit that needs to be released because we're dealing with a full moon, that some that you're like, you know what, I have to release this bad habit because it's affecting my health in a negative way. Or it may be I need to take on a new habit to have better health, like self-care, right? Putting in a self-care routine, or maybe you're seeing a coworker has to leave, so you pick up their slack, but you have to set some new boundaries. Remember, we're dealing with 12th house, 6th house opposition. Maybe there's some new boundaries that need to be met so that you can maintain the health and well-being that you've been working really hard on. So there's a lot of energy or emphasis around your routine at this time. And I mentioned this in my meme, but I'll just say this again because I love this quote. Letting go is painful, but holding on is suffering. So let go of anything that is not letting you be the best version of yourself, if that includes your own mindset, and step into this new ability or opportunity to take on the discipline required to be the better version of yourself. Sagittarius. So I mentioned Venus moving into your sign. So you're going to have Venus moving in your sign at this time, but we're also going to be dealing with fifth house emphasis opposing the 11th house. And so there might be, so it's going to, your first and your fifth house, and it's making a trine sextile to your 11th. And so there's a little bit more emphasis here with relationships and values and the things that you are desiring. So there could be a really strong drive and determination to express more of that creative side, the things that give you pleasure, maybe taking some risk. And you may just decide, you know what, I have no fucks to give. I'm going to share whatever is on my heart, whatever comes out of my creativity, the daydreaming I've been doing. It's time. And I think there's going to be quite a few Sagittarians that are releasing some books or manuals or self-help stuff. Maybe there's a creative project that, like a grant. Some of you may be working on grants, This is a time where you are finishing that up and you see it released out into the world, and you get it boomeranged right back to you because we're dealing with that 11th house. You're going to find yourself working with a group of like-minded individuals that share the same passion and drive you have for this particular thing. Capricorn, most likely, okay, we're dealing with our fourth house now. I mentioned the 10th house for Cancer. Well, Capricorn, your emphasis is going to be more on that fourth house. And so, just like Cancer, call upon your ancestors, honor them, work with them. You may be thinking a lot about family right now, aging parents, maybe. Maybe you're aging yourself and need to downsize your home into something that's more accommodating for you. We're working with also feeling solid in our foundation as a Capricorn. So you may have been forced to reinvent yourself, which shaken up your home life, and you've had to put new roots down, or maybe there's been some new responsibilities that you've had to take on as far as work is concerned, and have to make adjustments in your personal life. And that could cause some tensions in your relationships because your priorities have shifted, you know? And it's like, honey, I really want to go on that date with you, or I really want to spend time with you just watching Netflix and doing nothing, but I really have emails I need to send and phone calls I need to make and yada, yada, yada. So, there could be some tension for you around the home life and the public life, but the most important thing is that you're communicating with your beloveds for those who are most affected. You're communicating with them, hey, I'm not going anywhere. This is temporary. Let me get myself settled, and then we'll reconnect. I'm going to carve out time for us. Aquarius, this is in your third house. So we've got your third and your ninth house here, but third house emphasized. So there could be quite a bit of chatter among the people you spend the most time with. The water cooler conversations, gossip could lead to useful information. Maybe there's some really cool ideas that you've been holding back of sharing. Now's the time to share them, and you'll be able to get a lot more people to circulate around you, circle around you, and say, hey, why don't you take that on? It could give you some more energy and things to sink your teeth into. Some of you may be sharing with new groups or with people all over the country, all over the world, your ideas. You may find yourself being asked to speak. There's a lot of energy here around presenting. If you have to do a presentation, or if you are a guest speaker somewhere, there's a lot of energy around that as well. Just keep in mind, because of the emphasis of that third house, is that our words create our worlds. What world am I creating and what I'm sharing? So be mindful, be thoughtful, because our words can harm or heal. All right, Pisces. Oh, real quick, Aquarius, because this is also dropping in, is that some of you are wanting to connect on a deeper level with someone close to you. Ask a lot of questions of that person. Get them to talk more about themselves, and then you're going to find yourself easily being able to connect and share and get to know them a little deeper. Pisces. So this is our second house emphasis opposing the eighth house. And so we're working with your personal values, your possessions, your income, and then how it might affect joint resources or ways in which you invest. Maybe there's an opportunity here that you get to generate some new income, or you decide you want to take on a course that will eventually, you're investing in, let's say, a certification or a course or whatnot, or school even, something that allows you that once you're complete, you'll be able to make money off of, right? So there's that. Maybe some of you have been looking at property that you want to invest in, or you've decided that, hey, I've got all these really cool items around me, but I don't need them. So I'm going to start selling them. And all of a sudden, a business gets created out of it, or you just find some more income because of what you sold. So there's some of that energy there. But also we're working with values in the second house, self-esteem. So if you've been questioning your self-esteem, you haven't been feeling like you're worthy, if you will, because of some decisions you've made or relationships you've been in or whatnot, this is a great time for you to let all that go, reset your values, and come back and make decisions based on that. Because as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, that is what is going to help you feel the most connected to yourself, right? And at peace. Okie dokie. So I only have a couple minutes left for the show. I do want to point one thing out. That is Pluto. I've talked about Pluto quite a bit, especially with Oliver when he and I are together, because it's been in Capricorn for 16 years, and it certainly has transformed anyone who has heavy Capricorn emphasis. And it's leaving. It's going direct Friday after this full moon, and then it will leave Capricorn for good in November. So we only have another few weeks, a month or so, of the Pluto energy in the last degrees of Capricorn. And I just want to point it out that with it going direct, it is going to start to feel like, and it's at that 29th degree, which in astrology is the anaretic or crisis point degree. It's really more of an emphasis, you know, that everything we've been learning over the last 16 years with Capricorn, with Pluto in Capricorn, it all has this culmination energy. And so it is going to be revealing sort of this culmination or crescendo of immense societal, global, financial, political shifting. It's the final phase of the transit, about dismantling systems that no longer serve us so that we can create space for new ones. And it's about letting go of our reliance on structures that once served us but are no longer conducive to our growth. So we're in this final chapter, and the invitation is to choose consciously that, remember, Pluto is the planet of transform, surrender, or die. So we have to surrender to whatever shows up and then allow it to invite us to find opportunities, resources, new systems that actually work, because the old is done. We have to let it go. Perfect emphasis from this full moon and then Pluto in the final degree of Capricorn. So I understand it's not easy. I understand that especially high sensitive, we're going to be feeling collective grief. We're going to be feeling our own grief if we have to let something go that we've held on to that is just no longer serving us. And it doesn't necessarily mean, let's just say I'm going to use the example of relationship because that seems to be a big trigger for most people. It doesn't mean that the relationship or that person is exiting your life when we let a particular relationship go. Now, that can be the case, but very often it's our idea of the relationship that we're letting go, and that we surrender to what is and open ourselves to the next. And then just watch, maybe you and that individual are interacting in a very different way that's healthier and more alive and more connected than what you had before. All right, you guys. I'm going to leave us with that. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Like I said, if you want to replay, there's archives, there's replays available at 1-2 Radio. Please come find me at 1-2 Listen. I love connecting with you. Find me at jamiedawn.com. My Light and Shatter Report, which is a monthly astrological energetic report, is up on my blog at jamiedawn.com. And follow me on social media. The memes are there for the full moon and then the new moon, which will be happening in November. The new moon, that is. It actually happens right after, right around Halloween. Kind of cool. And then, of course, I have my YouTube channel. So please feel free to like, subscribe, and share there as well. All right, you guys, enjoy the week. I cannot wait to hear how this full moon is affecting you. And let's lean in and lift each other up. Take care, everybody.